Now the shenanigans may begin. So let's do something completely unspiritual. Let's look at our neighbor. And let's see if our neighbor is wearing green. If they are not, you are allowed to pinch them. One, two, three, pinch. Okay, no more touching. No more touching unless you're praying. No more touching. Leave room for the Holy Spirit. No more touching unless you're praying. Yeah. So, why do people wear shamrocks on St. Paddy's Day? Because real rocks are too heavy. What is a leprechaun's favoritest dessert ever? A patty cake. Y'all didn't like that one, huh? I thought that one was great. Okay, we only get two. We only get two. Yeah, she does not get to screen them before they happen. You know? So, y'all know these things, but I'm going to say them real quick. I'm going to take a few things and put them in a little small capsule. This year, we're going to hear from God. Amen? Anybody excited about hearing the voice of the Master this year? It's happening right now. It's already there. Most of you have already started to hear from God, and you're starting to get some direction for what's going to happen in your lives on this next phase, next step, whatever it is that you want to call it. Whenever we come out of where we are into the place where He has for us, the next green pasture is just through the gate, and the master of the door, He is standing at the gate and He is calling out. John chapter 10 tells us that my sheep, Jesus said, my sheep will hear my voice. And I'll lead them out, that the Master will lead you out. You'll hear His voice, and a stranger's voice you will not follow. That means you. Who's a sheep of His? Has anybody ever been born again, huh? Made Jesus the Lord of your life? That's you. That means that for you, you will hear the Master's voice, and you'll be able to follow Him out from wherever you are into what He has for you. Amen? That's what's happening this year. That's what we're looking forward to this year. That's what we see coming to pass this year, is that we are going to actually hear the voice of the Master. I'm excited about it. And I believe that that's what Joel was getting at whenever he was talking about up here. There has to be a level of expectation and excitement that we have built into us before we even walk in this room, before we even take a first step into our lives, before we do anything tomorrow. There needs to be a level of expectation upon us. It is our job to make sure that we are expecting, that we are ready, that we're actually listening for the voice of the Master. I love the way Joel said it. He said that the presence of God is not any stronger in any other place or at any other time than it is right now. That's the Greg paraphrase of it. What I'm saying is that God's presence is just as strong right now in your life as it's ever been before. Your expectation of the experience of that presence should be the gauge and the monitor to how much of that presence you're actually experiencing on a daily basis. So I brought it. Is that making sense? Are y'all with me? It is up to us. We're always putting everything on Him. He's already done. He's all He's going to do. He hung on the cross and then He rose. He's through. It's up to us now. It's our turn. We are the sheep. We are the fruit. We are His people. We are here. He's not here. He's sitting on a throne. He's up. We're here right now. It's our turn. It's our time. It's time for us to have our expectation that when we walk out of the door in the morning, when we go to work and do whatever we do on a regular basis, whatever our day is, it's our expectation to know that we're going to hear His voice and we're going to follow Him in the big middle of it. Are y'all with me? That's this year. That's now. And don't put it off till December 31st. Accept it now and say, it's me now. I can hear from Jesus now. I know His voice now. I recognize His voice now. Everything's happening now. When does faith happen? Faith happens when? Now. Every moment is now. What time is now? Now. When was it? You said now. When's now happening? Right now. You see what I'm saying? You can simply turn on a light in your spirit right now to hear from the Spirit of God. It's the easiest thing you'll ever do in your life. Easiest thing you'll ever do. He lives in you. If you've been born again, if you've asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, then the Spirit of God has come and started to dwell on the inside of you. He's actually mixed with your spirit. The Bible tells us that they're mixed together. It's like peanut butter and jelly, Kool-Aid and water, sugar and unsweet tea. No, peas and carrots are not really mixed together real good. They're just kind of on the same plate. Now, if you mash them up, that's it. If you mash up peas and carrots and mix them up in a bowl, that's what it looked like. That's it. Good call, Stephen. Thank you. Everybody give it up, Stephen Dickerson. Great analogy today. Thank you, sir. I'm sorry. Yes, I'm sorry. So yeah, St. Patrick's Day is today. And what I was going to bring up about St. Patty's Day, the reason, does anybody know why the clover is such a big deal on St. Patty's Day? Right, exactly. Represents the Trinity. The idea was that whenever Patrick, he wasn't St. Patrick at that time, whenever he went to, wherever he went, was it Ireland? Yeah, whenever he went to Ireland to save the souls of the Irish, he used the shamrock as his teaching tool to teach about the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he used that. And so it became something that the pagans, you know, kind of latched onto because they had a system with several gods involved. So he was able to make the transition. No, we got one God, but he manifests himself three different ways, just like this shamrock. It's one shamrock, but it's got three arms on it. You see what I'm saying? And so it's really cool. So we look at that. And why do I bring that up? Because he found a way to connect to a people and to transmit what he was hearing from God to a people that didn't even know who God was in his daily life. That is what we are here to do. We are here not only to hear from us so that we know which direction we should go, but that direction that we go in and that step that we make ought to be a step towards a soul. It ought to be a direction towards a people. It should be something to further the kingdom of God so that we have the chance to share about our master. So don't get off thinking in the big middle of all this that I'm hearing from God for me. Are y'all with me? You're included. Anybody ever used a water hose before? Y'all ever? Anybody in here? None of y'all. I'm just getting a bunch of nods. Where's your hands at? Come on, get involved here. We got to do something. I know y'all been worshiping and all that, but come on. Put your hands up. I used a water hose. I don't know anybody in here. I ain't never used a water hose, right? That's done it. So every hand should have gone up. I don't know what. Wake up, y'all. I'll make you run around the building. Be like Chris. So a water hose does what? It what? It sprays water. Okay, I'll go with it. What? It lets water out. It does that. It transfers water from one place to another place. Now, when it does that, does the water hose get wet or not? It does. The inside of it is completely and totally saturated with water. In fact, if you get one of those porous kind that they put in the flower beds, the outside of it will start to show. So as we are transporting the water, as we are transporting the glory, as we are transporting the word that we hear from the master, as we are moving from one place to another, we're doing it for other people, but we're getting wet along the way. Does this thing make sense? So don't sit back thinking you all that in a bag of tater chips. You got to put that out your brain. It ain't about you, but it is completely, entirely up to you to get up, move forward, and take the steps in the direction that the master's telling you to make right now today. And we can't let any outside thing push us or pressure us or make us do anything because we are led on the inside just like the water hose is led on. It's in the inside. It's got a destination. It's got a place to go. We can't let any outer thing pressure us into not doing right. Amen. Let's go to John. I gave y'all a scripture in John. Can we go to that one, please? Everybody doing good this morning? This is going to be real quick. Y'all got about 5 more minutes. It's over. It's not going to hurt bad at all. No, not that one. John 8. That's 10. Sorry. Excuse me. I gave them 2 in John. 2 of them. I just won't. Ah! Man, where'd Jesus go? He went straight up to the Mount of Olives. Verse 2. What'd he do there? Now, early in the morning, he came again into the temple. And all the people came to him, and he sat down, and he started teaching some folks. Can y'all see this in your mind? It's the way he's supposed to read the word. Sat down, he's teaching people. Can y'all see him in your mind's eye teaching people? And then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman who was caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act." So we're sitting there, Jesus in our brain. We see it in our mind's eye. He's teaching. Church folk roll in. "Hey, church folks, how y'all doing? Look, we got somebody here that ain't doing right." And they got the woman in tow. Now, I don't understand how a lady could commit adultery by herself, but they caught her in the act by herself because it was just her that they brought. It wasn't the dude, was it? Just the lady. Yeah. Now, Moses in the law, this is the y'all seeing this. You got to see it in your mind's eye. Y'all with me? The Moses in the law, what he say? He commanded that you should be, that she should be stoned. But what do you say? And the reason why they did that is up to this point, Jesus has been talking about compassion and the love of God and the kingdom of God and his forgiveness and all these things. So what's happening here is that these scribes and Pharisees are trying to catch him. We got you. Because they've been trying to prove that he ain't it. Right? Jesus come on the scene, everybody's like, "Oh, the Messiah's here." And the scribes and Pharisees said, "Whoa, time out. I need a paycheck." No, he ain't. No, we ain't got no Messiah coming in. I got to get my paycheck. I got to keep the church stuff rolling. I got to keep y'all buying your sacrifices from me because I need you to come in here every year and spend as much money as you possibly can on a bull or a dove or a lamb or something. You got to buy this stuff from me because I need to keep my money going. That's kind of how religion works, if y'all wanted to know how religion works. It ain't about the people. It ain't even really about the church. It about the money. And they said this, testing him. See that? They're trying to catch him. We got you. We got you, Jesus. You know, I think this is what happened. I can't prove it in the scriptures, but this is what I think happened. The day before, they got with the dude that y'all don't hear about, just the girl, got with the dude, said, "Look, this is what we need you to do. We need to go in there, and she's married, and I need you to go in there and put the..." Yeah, on there. You got to put the yeah on there. Make it happen, right? And then we're going to rush you in and say, "Oh, what's happening?" And you ain't got to worry about anything, dude. We got you back. We got you. Because we ain't going to say nothing to you. You gone on. You already forgiven right now. Shunda, whatever they had to do to forgive him already before he even got there. Y'all with me? Scribes and Pharisees setting up Jesus. "We're doing this, dude, because we're trying to catch Jesus. He says he's Messiah. We don't need that. I got to get my paycheck. All right? So just don't worry about it. Your atonement has been dealt with. All you got to do is this. Don't worry about it." So the dude, you know, and they come in. "Oh, my gosh, what's going on? You can't stay with him. Let's bring you up here to this here Jesus and see what he got to say about it." Because the Moses' law says she got to be stoned, but he talking about, "Oh, how he loves everybody. Oh, he loves us. Oh, how." See, they knew what was up. They knew what was going on with the thing. And so they wanted to catch him. See, and they're trying to test him. That they might have something of which to accuse him, but Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. Anybody ever have pressure on you before? Anybody ever have stuff coming against you before that gets to accusing you and puts you in a corner to where you really don't know what you're supposed to do? You really don't know how to get out. You really don't know what you're supposed to do because you're in a corner. And the pressure starts coming. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Because let's go to the next verse. So when they what? Continued. This didn't happen in just a few little seconds like you see it in the movies. That's not the way this thing happened. Jesus got down on the ground and started writing like he didn't even hear nobody. And I don't know what he was writing. Everybody talking about what he wrote in the ground. I don't care what he wrote in the ground. He might have been making his grocery list for later. The point is, The point is that Jesus was not letting their questions evoke an answer from him right now. Just because there's pressure, and just because there's questions, and just because there's people that think they know what's going on, just because that exists does not warrant a response from you. He did not respond. He stooped down like he didn't even hear them. Y'all remember last week when we talked about where was God? He wasn't in the wind, was he? Y'all remember? He wasn't in the what? The fire. And he wasn't in the earthquake. He was a still, small voice. And Jesus, y'all have to remember that Jesus laid down his glory to be here just like us. Whenever he was baptized, he was filled with the Spirit whenever he was baptized, because he did not have that indwelling like what we have of the Spirit had to also be upon him to do what he needed to do. He laid down his glory, so he's operating as a man filled with the Spirit of God, just like you, man or woman, excuse me. Y'all get what I'm saying? Didn't let the pressure of the situation make him. They continued. So what say you? What say you? What movie is that from? What say you? Lord of the Rings, the third one. That's right. I'm sorry about that. Excuse me. I had a moment. I just saw a movie all in my head at one time. Whammo, just right through there. It was awesome. It's a good movie. So when they continued to ask him, he raised himself up and said what? He who is without sin, let him throw a stone at her first. Verse 8. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. So this is what I visualize happening. Y'all with me? Y'all still got it in your head? Scribes and Pharisees have come up. They got this lady in tow. The dude's gone. He done been paid and forgiven. Jesus, what you going to do about this? He did not even answer. I mean, there's people all around. He was just teaching. He was at the Mount of Olives teaching people. This is what he's been doing on a daily basis up to this point. He's been going out and teaching. He is building a ministry. He is building the kingdom of God. He is talking about the things of God. And he's been doing this every single day. And they come rolling up in the middle of what he was doing at work to make him give them an answer right now. And what did he do? He acted like he ain't even heard. He stoops down. They keep going. Are y'all with me? Can you see it happening? Well, what you got to say about this? What you got to say? What you got to say about this? What you going to do? Huh? Master? Messiah? What you think, boy? What you going to do with this? Anybody ever been there? The enemy does it to you all the time. He's still running the same trick that he ran on Jesus back then. He's running the same trick on you today. What you going to do about it? What you going to say? And you see what the master did. It's quiet. No response. Waiting. Not for the earthquake. He ain't waiting for the fire. He ain't waiting for the wind. He's waiting for that still, small voice. And that still, small voice says, who's ever with sin needs to cast the first stone. And there was only one present that was without sin. Keep going. Then those who heard it convicted by their conscience went out one by one. From the oldest to even the last. That's funny to me. The old dudes was like, well, heck, I know I got sin. And Jesus was left alone. And the woman standing in the midst, when Jesus raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are your accusers, the accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. And the only one that could, neither do I. Go and don't do this mess no more. It ain't good for you. Somebody gonna throw a rock at you. You need to quit. But he didn't hold it against her. That's how we're supposed to operate in this life, folks. Don't let the enemy pressure you into trying to do something on your own. One more. Romans chapter 8, verse 16, please. I'm sorry. I said 5 minutes and it's already been 7, 8. Are we there yet? Yeah. Romans 8, 16. The Spirit himself does what? Bears witness with. This means in the Greek, a co-witness, a joint witnessing. The Spirit himself will witness with your spirit, with yours. It is a co-witnessing. Witnessing means to testify. It happens at the same time. You happen at the same time. So what does that mean, Greg? That means I don't need to know what not to do. I need to know what to do, so I wait on the inside of what to do. You ask me all the questions you want. Y'all can start asking the folks that are around me. I don't know. I just stare at you. I don't know. It's kind of like Jesus on the ground. What you want to do, Jesus? How you want to handle this, boy? Huh? What you want to do with it? Messiah? And he down there, really, I don't know, y'all. He might have wrote that down. Big old question mark. I don't know what I'm going to do right now. But I know I ain't going to answer you till I get the witness to co-witness with me as I begin to speak. You're not on your own. The enemy tries to convince you that you are all by yourself and on your own. And ain't nobody else. You have a witness on the inside of you. It's a still small voice. It's not spectacular. It's not great big. It ain't no fire coming down. It ain't no wind blowing. The earth is not shaking and all that. But it is completely supernatural. It's a voice that knows more than you'll ever know. It's a voice that has ancient wisdom that we could never understand. And that voice rises up in you and says, tell them this. I'm telling you, don't let this world pressure you. Don't let the enemy pressure you into saying something too quick or moving too fast. You wait for that witness to co-witness with you before you speak. Amen. Let's stand. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We purpose to hear from this witness. We purpose to wait for the co-witness. We purpose to be just like the Master. We purpose to walk just like him, because your word tells us that all the things that he did, we are able to do, and greater things we will do because he went to the Father. So, Father, we thank you that we will walk this out. We will do it and not be hearers only. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said with that, what? Agreed with that, said amen. I got it.